does it
this
mean?
Conference
it
will
beach money means that you mean I can go to the beach and still make money. So it's not like having extra cash flow so you can pay to go to the beach. It's about I can go to the beach and I can still make money. And so, of course, what we know that that represents to us who've been around network marketing for a while is that it represents to us residual income stream. Building a stream of income, it represents to us the B quadrant in the cash flow quadrants when you talk about Robert Kiyosaki. It represents building an asset that throws off income whether I'm working on it or not. It represents to us truly understanding the concept of leverage. It represents to us being an entrepreneur instead of choosing to exchange our time for dollars. All of these principles are represented in the word beach money. It's about having an income flow that is not tied to your time and your energy. And that's the importance of what beach money is. It's an important concept because it hits all of those levels for us to say, you know what, this is why we do entrepreneurial work. This is why we want to be in the B quadrant. This is why we want to have our own home-based business. Because we truly want to start earning income from an asset that we're building and have that income continue to flow day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. So, and what he says in his book, he says, when you have beach money is when you have complete and total freedom to live your life the way you want to live. And that's a huge statement. It's a time of your life where you get to live your life exactly how you want to live it. And, you know, I find myself sometimes when I do presentations. The other day I was doing a presentation at my church to a group of people, and I said, there's nothing I love better than waking up in the morning and knowing I'm going to do exactly what I want to do that day. I mean, I do whatever I want to do each day. I choose to do what I do each day. And there's a beauty around that. Not feeling like anyone is dragging on my time, taking time away from me. I don't become victim to a job. I don't have to go do something. The language doesn't even exist in my vocabulary. I have to. I choose to do whatever I do every moment of my day. And I'm choosing to live that lifestyle. And that's what beach money is about. It's about building that asset that throws off that residual income stream that allows you to do exactly what you want to do every day of your life. Why do we pursue it? Well, it should be a foregone conclusion to all of us that if you really want to do, you know, what your dream is, if you really want to achieve your dream, if you really want to do what the Lord's laying on your heart, perhaps if that's your spiritual walk, you want to be able to do that every day of your life. You want to be able to step into that and take on that responsibility to do those things that you feel led to do. And a lot of us get stuck because we don't have the quote-unquote beach money. We don't have the financial support in our lives to allow us to have that level of freedom to do exactly what perhaps is laid on our heart. So that's why we pursue it. We pursue it because it is about our existence on this planet. It's truly about making this be the best possible life that we can have. It's truly about feeling totally fulfilled at whatever time frame that we have left to be here on this earth. It's truly about touching others' lives like we've never been able to impact lives before in our life. So why pursue it? That's a good question, but I call it one of those nonsensical questions because we all have an answer to that. We all know why. The why is clear. It's about our dream. It's about our life. It's about accruing that eventual, you know, lifestyle that has evaded us. So that's why we pursue it, because we believe in it. We believe it really is meant for us. It's meant for each and every one of us, so we pursue it. So the third question I ask, this didn't come out of the book, but the third question is, so what is your plan? Because you can't sit back and you can't just expect it to happen. We all must have a plan. And for you to be on the call this morning, I suggest part of your plan is Manatech is part of piece of that plan. So let's start jumping in and saying, what are we going to do with our Manatech business different? So that plan comes to fruition. What have I left out of my plan, or why am I not planning adequately, or why have I not added specificity to my plan, or what is the shortcoming in my plan that's not allowing me to get the beach money, right? Okay, so let's look at Jordan Adler, the author. Let's look at his history. What is he all about? Well, some of you can totally relate to this. 11 companies in 10 years. had signed up. He knew he wanted to be entrepreneurial. He believed in the network marketing principle. He saw how it worked. He said, there's no question it's the perfect business, as Robert Kiyosaki says, as Donald Trump says, as all these people say, these massive billionaires say. That's the number one way they'd remake their fortune if they had a choice today. They'd go back into network marketing. It's the fastest track to $1 billion, the least upfront cost, and it has remarkable impact on self-development and impacting lives. So all of these reasons they used to do it. Well, Jordan saw all that. He saw the incredible nature of network marketing, and so he started joining different companies. And he started when he was in his early 20s. I mean, he started that early. He knew he didn't want a J-O-B. He didn't want to be miserable at a J-O-B. Well, some of you would say, well, it's pretty miserable being in 11 different network marketing companies in 10 years. Yeah. Some of you would say that. And, you know, Jordan went through highs and lows. There's no question about it. His quote in the book was, I would get excited and then discouraged over and over again. Have any of you been on that trip? Some of you could say, Mary Jo, I didn't need 11 companies in 10 years. I've been in Manatech for 10 years, and I feel like I'm on the same roller coaster. You got it. It happens. You don't have to choose 11 different companies. You can have the same experience within one company. It can have high highs and low lows. It can go up and you can go down, and you can believe in it or you can not believe in it. You can have a belief at one time and lose that belief if you allow that to happen. But the incredible thing, he also said, I have been patronized, made fun of, and ignored by the people closest to me. He talked about his mother and his dad, how they chastised him, criticized him, beat up on him. He was up and down. They said, get a job. What are you doing? You're living in this la-la land, on and on and on. You can imagine as parents praying for your 20-year-old son to just get a life, right? I could see this picture as I was reading this book about being parents, these parents who didn't have the vision he had, who kept saying to themselves, when is he going to find himself? Our son is a lost cause. Our son, I could just hear all the negativity. And you know what? Jordan wasn't going to let it stand in his way. He wasn't going to let any of that stand in his way. And one day what happened to him, he went down to the Malibu beach. And he sat around and he looked around and he looked at all these people sitting on the beach, just enjoying their lives. Just laughing, happy, having the fun. And he said, you know what? He looked at that, his one day on the beach, and he walked away and he said, that's me. I am not ever going to give up on my dreams. So he jumped back in one more time. He said, I'm jumping back in. I'm never giving up on my dreams. So how did he get back on track? And getting back on track for him might look a little different, but for you it could be the same thing. Maybe it is just your Manatech business, and you need to find how to get back on track with Manatech. It's not about you choosing 11 other companies. It's not about your history, but it's about a history of one company. So how did he get back on track? Well, what he did is he went out and he said, I'm going to find some significant quiet time, like a day, a half day or a full day. I'm not talking about 1 hour, people. I'm talking about significant quiet time. No interruption, no one else around you. Take off the day. Take off a half day. Whatever it takes for you, take off the time and make it happen. One of our problems that we don't do is we don't dedicate that quiet time. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get off your duff. You're not going to get a new direction. You're not going to climb back into that place you want to be. Secondly, he said, choose an incredible location. Breathtaking. So look around your area. I don't care if you live in Dallas, Texas. We can find breathtaking places. I mean, they're not going to be as beautiful as Mammoth Lakes, California, or, you know, San Diego, California, or some other. But you know, a lot of you live in absolutely outstanding, beautiful mountainous ranges and, you know, exquisite places you can find. So I don't mean you have to jump on an airplane and fly somewhere, but find a beautiful location, something that's beautiful to you. To me, that might mean go down to this little park we have down the road that has this gorgeous pond with swans that swim in it. I could sit by that pond and just have quiet time. And it's a beautiful location because you know what? It's outdoors and it's all natural. I could do this by going into Belize, my archaeological dig, sitting in a forest somewhere, watching just the foliage and the incredible animals and the creatures that run the forest run around. That's a beautiful place for me. But each of us have a different idea what a beautiful place is, so find a beautiful place. Take with yourself a journal. And now sit down in this beautiful place with no limit to your time. In other words, you don't worry about when you're going to pick up the kids. You have 4 or 5 hours at least to be by yourself without any constraints. and start writing out your life dreams like an architect. Very specific with those life dreams. What does that look like to you? Where are you going? And you write it all in present tense, as if it's happening to you and you're living it right now, today. And you journal for hours on this topic. Right now, living it today, what does it look like? Spend the time and energy doing it. And in the process of doing it, you've got to set aside every fear, every doubt, every apprehension about what is possible. You've got to truly step into it. You've got to step into, if you're coming from a Christian ilk, you step into it. Anything is possible through Him. Step into that and the true meaning of that for you in your life. Release the fears, release the doubts, release the apprehensions. What Jordan Adler said in his book was, and I put it in boldness in the outline. See, some people might miss this when they read this book, but I try to give you, capture the moment. He wrote, "Later I would realize that this was the most important moment on the entire journey." And then after he walked away from this event in his life, this turning point in his life, he read 1 to 2 pages of that journal every single day. He put that journal in his nightstand, and every day he'd pop that journal out and read 1 to 2 pages of that journal. And that didn't mean he had 700 pages, so he read 2 different pages. Maybe he only journaled 50 pages. He didn't tell us how much he journaled, but every day he went back to relive 1 to 2 pages of that journal. So what was he doing? He was grabbing onto his why every single day. He pulled it out and he read out of that journal every single day. He didn't, and you know what? After a year, his business was no better than it was before. He wasn't successful. He was still absolutely struggling. In fact, after he spent a year reading out of that journal every day, he put that journal into a box. But he ran with his life with that journal in his head the whole time. So it's not about, you know, a month after you do this, you're going to experience exhilaration and total success. It's not even about that you're going to have total success a year later. It's about his belief system, and he knew the track he was on, and he was never letting go of it. So maybe some of you need to take that action today, getting back on track, getting back on track. And then he goes through in the book, he talks about what to avoid. Number one, he says avoid hesitation. Hesitation, nothing great is ever created in a state of hesitation. Hesitation is what? It's a state of fear. It's a state of doubt. It's a state of lack of belief. Nothing is created in a state of hesitation. So it's not about hesitation, it's about taking action. Oh, what if I make a mistake? It's okay. Mistakes are great. In fact, I should pat you on the back every time you make a mistake. As long as you learn from the mistake, a mistake is terrific because it brings you into a whole new realm of knowledge and the capability and ability. So absolutely, stop hesitating. Lack of commitment. He says, even mediocre businesses can become wildly successful if the leadership team has an unwavering belief in its crusade. In other words, unwavering intentionality, commitment, unquestioned. The famous multi-million-dollar formula that you all hear about perhaps at the Yes events, in the Champions Workshop, or if you've been through the Clemmer work, you know, intent plus mechanism equals results. Intent equals results. Intent is commitment. So we must come from commitment. You must be committed. Commit. Go to Costa Rica. Commit to becoming a presidential in Manatech. Make the commitment. What stops you? Fear, doubt, hesitation, lack, scarcity. You want to blame somebody else. I'll blame the company. I'll blame the Texas AG. I can put it off on something else. Wrong. Be committed. Step up. Choose it. It's within every one of you. Lingering doubts. Avoid lingering doubts, whether stemming from past experiences or conversations with others. If you carry any doubts, success will evade you. So you've got to let the doubts go. focus on the positives, focus on the pluses, focus on the wins, focus on creation, focus on what proactive, not reactive. Focus on moving forward, not being in the past. In fact, when I'm involved in a number of coaching experiences today, of some new people I'm coaching, and one of the first things out of my mouth was, we will not discuss the past. But we will not discuss the past. We will only talk about what we're going to create. Our focus will be exclusively on the future. If we talk about a past, it's going to be what I learned from my experience was. You can start about talking the past only what I learned from my experience was. That's how we discuss the past. I've become intelligent on this issue because of what I learned from my past. I have a better grappling of this issue because of what happened to me in my past. See the difference? That's how we deal with our past. So we get rid of all the lingering doubts and all the things that pass us by. We let them go. We quash them like bugs. I love it. I get an email. It goes, oh, Mary Jo, but maybe this isn't duplicatable. Quit doubting. We quash the doubt. Maybe we can't. Oh, quit. What if? No. What if? We talk about reality, where we're going. We talk about today because today matters. What I do today will create a better tomorrow for me if I focus on what I create today. And that means I leave the past out. What to do, he writes up this, to do, attend every event and bring every potential partner. So when he got back on track, he said, okay, I'm going to start going to every event. He started inviting people. He made sure he had 3 or 4 people. And he'd walk into those events and he'd bring his people. And sometimes he only had 2. And the first time he went, there were hundreds of people at the event. And he said, oh my gosh, everybody's bringing so many people. Look at this guy. This guy's running the show and he brought 100 people tonight. He found out the guy running the show brought 2 people. It's not about how many he brings, it's about how many people you have other people bringing and other people and other people. No one in the room brought 100 people to that event. In fact, the majority of people had maybe 1. Some people had none. But they showed up with somebody, and that's what created the momentum in the room. So it's about attending every event. And then what he did, he went up and he introduced every single time he went to an event. How many of you do this? He went up to the front of the room, and he introduced his person, his potential business partner, he introduced his guest to the speaker. And you go, well, Mary Jo, but I don't even know the speaker. He didn't know the speaker either. But he went up and introduced his guest to the speaker. Hi, my name is Mary Jo. This is my guest. He's here for the first time tonight, and he wanted to get to know you. Isn't that great? How powerful is that? Very powerful. Isn't that intriguing? Anytime he had a setback. So that's kind of got him in the role of getting to know some of these high, top-notch people in the business. Anytime he had a setback, he contacted very committed, successful upline. For some of you, that means you can't just go to your upline that signed you up. You must go higher and higher and higher. Or you must get on to somebody that is going to help you out. Maybe you bring your concern to the Monday call and you ask it the first 10 minutes of our call. Whatever it is, you find somebody who's going to give you positive advice, who's going to come from positive and optimistic and believe in you and give you encouragement to go as high as you can possibly go in this business. But you got to find that person in your life. Who's going to be that person for you? Find that person who's the encourager. We all need encouragers in our lives. We all need those people. We always need to get on our knees. We need to, you know, spiritually move ourselves in that direction. Rely on the people that have greater power than you have. And that's what you want to do. So make sure that's part of your what-to-do list. Learn the skills of speaking and training groups. You want to learn leadership skills. You want to be able to develop how do I speak in front of people. That doesn't mean you have to speak in front of thousands, but how do I speak in front of 5? And how do I train people? How do I best train people? Learn skills around that because those skills will take you far. If you don't learn those skills, and there are people out there that don't do this, what happens is you end up, it's a one-man show. I've seen presidential after presidential skyrocket to presidential. 6 months, 2 years later, they're nothing. They're back to regional director. Why? Because they relied only on themselves. They didn't build a team. They didn't build people. They didn't empower people around them. We must learn the skills of speaking and training groups so we can empower others. Numbers don't lie, he says. He says, commit to making 3 presentations a week. I love this concept. Now, remember we had the Korean principle. You can see that every single person that ever writes successfully about doing network marketing every one of them that's been successful and writes books about it always talks about what? Persistent, duplicatable behavior. They talk about being on a pattern. What he did is he made 3 presentations a week. The Koreans are doing what? They're contacting 5 new people a day, making 5 presentations a week, da da da. So they're picking up a little faster pace. This guy said he did 3 presentations a week. How many did he have to contact? It doesn't say how many he had to contact. He just knew he had to do 3 presentations a week. So whatever it takes for you to have to do 3 presentations a week, you do it. Maybe it takes 10 contacts. Maybe it takes 8 contacts. Maybe it takes only 3 contacts. But he's doing 3 presentations a week. I guarantee you if you do 3 presentations a week, you'll be successful in this business. I can guarantee it because that's how this business works. And that's not meeting somebody at the post office. That's taking them out to lunch or going over to their home. It's doing a presentation with them, showing them the yes plan, successfully presenting the business plan to them. And he used a chart, and I attached a copy of the chart for all you guys, so maybe it would help. So you can print it off, use it. It's at the last page of your outline today. You'll find a chart, and it comes right out of his book. He titled it, Have Fun, Find 20. His whole idea was to go out and find 20 people. He wants to find 20 people. And he figures out of those find 20 people that what will happen, that 3 of them will really excel and go crazy. The 20 people will join, but 3 perhaps will excel and go crazy. And that's all he needed was 3. So each day he did a presentation, he filled in a box. So if you look at your boxes on your form, they're all empty boxes right now. So let's say you say, okay, I'm going to do 3 presentations a week. Great. That's what Jordan said. Whatever works for you, you commit to it and you make it happen. No matter what, you make it happen. So don't just make a commitment and break it again. That's what robs you of self-esteem. It robs you of everything about you because you keep breaking commitments to the most important person in your life, which is you. You are the most important person in your life. Oh, Mary Jo, no, it's everybody else. Yeah. Right. Oh, great. So you're into this like self-sacrifice thing. Wrong. You're the most important person in your life. The reason you're the most important person is because in order for you to impact other lives, you've got to put yourself at the top. You've got to start investing in yourself. You've got to make yourself a better person. You've got to invest in it. You've got to change. You've got to make commitments. You've got to come real with yourself. And that's the way you're going to touch thousands of lives. So start putting yourself first in some issues and areas of your life where you need to start growing. But make this commitment to yourself and don't break the commitment. So what you do is you fill in little boxes. So you're going to do 3 presentations a week. Okay, take this sheet with you. At the bottom of the sheet, you can see it says ED. What that stands for, executive director. You fill in this box. It's a 10 by 10 box. You fill in this box and make 100 presentations. I'll tell you, executive director right around the corner, if not right in your lap. 3 presentations a week. Right? 3 presentations a week. That's all. And that's what you do. Find 20 people. Home run ball. When you find somebody, be a business partner with them. Great. So that's his little sheet that he used, but it's something that he did do. He went out and he did that over and over and over again with the goal of the executive director when you finish filling out that sheet. So his whole idea was on a monthly basis, if he did 3 presentations a week, he did 12 a month, right? 3 times 4, 12. And his idea was to find 1 business partner a month. And if he found 20 of those business partners, 3 would take off and become absolutely astronomical out of the 20 he found. So that was his goal, and that's what he set out to do. Persistence always. Never take your focus off the prize. He persisted no matter what. It didn't matter what happened this week. It only mattered what happened today and what will happen tomorrow and keeping that persistent flow. It kind of gets back into that slight edge idea that we remember the book Slight Edge. We talked about doing what you know you need to do every day, and it may not give you the impact today, but you know the long-range impact of it is going to be remarkable. So that's why you do it every day. It's what makes the Korean plan work. His points to consider are this. You must have a plan and stick to it for 18 to 24 months. So are you willing to commit to a plan for 18 to 24 months? I don't know. Your choice. Your choice. You can build serious income on a lunchtime schedule. This guy was doing a full-time job when he built his network marketing business. Today he's making 6 figures on a monthly basis. I mean, this guy makes tons of money. started off on a total part-time basis, working another job, doing network marketing. Because he had to. Remember, he went 10 years working 11 different network marketing, never made a dime. He had to find odd jobs because he was starving to death. So he could only do this on a part-time basis. He said, your point to consider is usually your big income will be tied to one or two people. You're going to find one or two grandiose people underneath you that will really build your business for you. And that's very true. It's kind of like the Pareto principle, right? 20% of the people will create 80% of your income. And that's true with your business. To find one or two, you must sponsor and train at least 20 to 30 people. That's why he wanted to look for 20 to 30 people. That was his little boxes he made. 60 to 90% of those you present your plan to will probably not be interested. We know that because we have the little chart that Wayne Badavinas gave us, which I think is so insightful. People are going to say no because they, number one, some people don't perceive they have a need. You ask them if they're healthy and they go, yeah. And then you say, totally healthy? Yeah, I'm totally healthy. Well, are you on any drugs? Oh, yeah, I take Lipitor and I take high blood pressure medication. And you go, that's our new definition of totally healthy in this country today. It's a sad but true statement about where our mentality is. We're confused as a nation. But that confusion doesn't destroy you. It just gives you insight into why people are going to say no to you. There are going to be people out there that say no, and you move on. Next, sort. You're looking for people who truly have a need, acknowledge their need, and want to do something about it. So that's health or wealth, both. He also made a statement, technology will not replace the fundamentals of building a successful business. So for those of you getting all wrapped up in technology, you want websites, and you want this, and you want that, I'm going to tell you, I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I've been around network marketing now since 1999, 10 years. Some of you have been 20, 30, 40. I've seen it all. I've seen people heavily and saturated with websites and all that kind of stuff. I've seen web programs. I've seen everything from A to Z. And where do the most successful people come from? None of that. None of it. Not about high tech. You can utilize websites for information, but it's not going to build your business for you. You need to be the leader you need to be. You need to build the business. You need to be belly to belly. You need to be face to face. You need to interact with people. No matter how difficult your financial situation is, you can turn it around in 18 to 24 months. So give yourself a goal. Set your goal today. If you don't have one, set it today, 18 to 24 months. Two-year program, I think it's great. I think if you can say 2 years to platinum. For some of you, you can say 2 years to presidential. What does it matter whether you get to platinum or you just get to presidential? For some of you, $6,000, $8,000 a month is like more than you could imagine. That's presidential. Platinum, $45,000, $50,000. Maybe you get there too, but remember, 80% of your income will come from 20% of your business builders. So find that one or two that are going to be magical for you. So you might only get to silver because you got the one or two. You didn't find the three or four, but that's okay too. It's about turning your life around financially, getting that cash flow, getting the beach money, okay? The most complicated things in life can be broken down into three steps. He had a little chapter on this. It was kind of an interesting thing. I just put it in there as an anecdote thing. He said, a real-life three-step plan. Step one, you must write down three things you want to do or buy in the next 3 months. So what three things do you want to do in the next 3 months? Maybe some of you want to get to national director status or executive or presidential. Write them down. Step two, what actions will you take right away to move you towards your goals? Highlight three only. So after today's call, you might say, okay, Mary Jo, I'm ready to get committed. I'm recommitting myself to making three presentations a week. Come heck or high water, I'm going to make three presentations. Great. That could be one of the actions you're going to take. What are the other actions you're going to take to get to your goal? Well, what else is it going to take you to get to executive director? It's going to take you something. Maybe you don't have a training system in place for people. Maybe you don't have a way to support your people. Maybe you need to talk about that. Maybe you don't have a referral business that you've built. So you're going to totally commit yourself. What actions will you take right away to move you towards your three goals? What actions will you take right away? Write those three actions down. Highlight three of them, the most important ones. Three actions you're willing to take right away to get you towards your goals. And step three is a non-action step. Are you ready to hear what it is? It's a mental step. He says step three is expect and allow the universe to provide you with all the resources you need to attain the three things you wrote down. This is not a to-do step, but a letting go step. It's becoming vulnerable. It's about letting go that somehow you're in control. Allow the universe, allow everything around you to come to fruition to help you achieve that net result. You've already set your goal and you already set your actions. Just go do it and trust it will transpire. Have faith. Believe in it. That's what step three is. He did a chapter on understanding our psyche. He talked about our mind doesn't distinguish between what is real and not. I love this because it's very much out of the Klemmer work as well. When, no matter what leadership work or self-development work you've done, you've experienced this. The fact is that we have a conscious and a subconscious. And our subconscious will, you know, which is some people call the mind. What it does is it, if you feed it information, it'll go, it's one response to you is, okay. So if you feed your subconscious that you're not good enough, it's going to go, okay. So what is going to be your life? If you feed your subconscious that you're not worthy, okay. If you feed your subconscious that this isn't going to work, okay. See what happens to negative thoughts and negative ideas and negative concepts? You feed your subconscious into a position where you self-sabotage. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be only feeding it positive. I am worthy. I am capable. I can make this. It's why I have people all the time drafting affirmations and reading them every day. Get out of the negative thinking. Negative thinking is stinking thinking. Get into positive thinking. Your thoughts are crucial. That's why your words are crucial. When people get negative words with me, I go, no, stop, done, no negativity. We don't work with negative words. Gone, out of vocabulary. I was a lawyer. I used to throw tons of negative thoughts and negative ideas around the place. Part of who I was. It was part of what my profession was about. Boy, I had to do a lot of conversion coming out of that, and I still work on myself. From time to time, I can still, every once in a while, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Lydia even gets a kick out of it because she loves to pick on Mary Jo. She says it's only payback for the years she's been through working with me. But it's cute. So we do trip up from time to time, but we need to maintain that positive. We need to always stay positive. Positive thoughts create positive words. So what usually comes out of somebody's mouth tells you what's going on in their head, and that tells you where they need to move. So understand your psyche and be positive. Only think positive things. Only keep in a positive direction. Write those affirmations to support you to do that. He also talked about the magic of momentum. And momentum isn't something about you going out and finding hundreds of people. It's about you taking massive action, but also it's about massive people taking action. Every prospect that you get involved, he had this little statement. He said, every prospect takes about 2 weeks on the average to join. Sometimes you can have them join in one day. Last week I did a presentation, joined up right then, right on the spot. But, of course, the person that brought the person there had worked on them for 2 weeks prior to that. So that I would say 2 weeks to join. I just was the catalyst. But the way we build our business is what? We get many people to be building the business. The business, building the business isn't about you building the business, it's about many people building the business. You want lots of people to build the business, lots of people. So build momentum with massive action, but you build it with having lots of people having the vision. Not about you, it's about lots of people. So you need to be that leader. You need to have a network of people, leverage off of other people's activities. That's what creates momentum. He talked about contact manager. Your success is largely determined by, number one, the number of contacts in your contact manager, and number two, the quality of the relationships you have with the people in that contact manager. Your success is largely determined by the number of contacts in your contact. Some of you don't even have a contact manager. I call it a warm list. You can call it contact manager. Because sometimes those people on the list aren't that warm. They might be somebody you just met yesterday that ends up on it. It might be people you met at a job fair. They end up on your contact manager form. So if you rather call it a contact manager than a warm list, that's fine. Language isn't important. What it is important is that you have one. Some of you don't have any, because I know that, because you say, Mary Jo, how do I find people? I don't have any people. I go, zero. You have a contact manager with zero people in it. Listen to his statement. Your success is largely determined by the number of contacts you and your contact manager and the quality of the relationship you have with the people in your contact manager. So what does that tell you need to do? Have a contact manager and add people every single day. That's what we need to do. Simple principle in network marketing. Number 10, collect every possible business card and convert it into cash. And he's a big business card collector. He says he gets his business cards and he does one of the following. He'll make a phone call, then he'll make a phone call, send a card, buy them lunch, send them a gift, send them some business, stay in contact with them. This is how he follows up with his business cards. And, you know, he looks at each business card. He says, an average associate that joins his downline and orders for the next 10 years or the rest of their life makes me $5,000. So he said, if I get 100 cards and out of 100 cards, one person becomes a consumer for me, then each of those cards is worth $50. So he values, he says, you can put a $100 value on it. But he says, every single business card he collects is worth $50. He converts it into cash. He looks at each business card he collects as cash. And I think that's a neat concept. If out of every 100 cards I get a full-time consumer for the rest of their life, that's $50 I've made from that business card. So look at business cards and become a tremendous collector of business cards. Every possible business card you can get your hands on, grab a hold of it. With each step that you take action, each one of those action steps you take with each of those business cards, what are you doing? You're building a substantial relationship as a new customer. That's what you're doing. You may not know it today. It may not show up today, but it may show up tomorrow. It may show up next week. It may show up the week after. But that's what you want to do. And managing those business cards is what you're doing, is you're building relationships with people, long-term relationships with people, by keeping contact with them. Okay, the last page of the outline I put in there, what he does in chapter 19 of his book, which he talks about strategies for creating beach money, and he gives us 12 strategies. So let's go over those. It's kind of, to me, a little bit of a summary of what else is in the book, but for the most part, it gives you a concept around what maybe things are lacking from your strategies of building your business. So let's take a peek at what he outlines as 12 strategies for creating beach money. And again, what's our definition of beach money? Residual income stream, financial freedom, your dreams, experiencing your dreams, having the cash flow to do whatever you choose to do every day of your life. That's beach money. Number one, he says, focus on distribution versus sales. Sales skills have, and this is good languaging for you people to talk to people when somebody objects to, I don't know how to sell. He goes, sales skills have very little to do with creating beach money lifestyle. Very little. But the fact is that most sales backgrounds may even slow you down. And it's not that he doesn't like the sales profession. He says, but the selling certainly gives you a nice income, but it's a linear in nature. In other words, in order to make money in sales, you have to continue to sell month after month after month. And if you stop selling, guess what? You stop making money. We're not talking about that. It's not a linear program. We're talking about a leverage program. So don't focus on sales. Focus on distribution. Focus on the distribution. Distribution, he defines as follows, is a system of creating multiple points of sale. Distribution, like Walmart, is a system of creating multiple points of sale. So rather than aiming to get as many sales as possible, your goal is to have lots and lots of people making a few sales each. In other words, having lots and lots of points of distribution. He drew the analogy in this in this first strategy of the difference between offering you a bottle of soda for a dollar each. You can buy as many as you want, and you can resell them for $2. So you could buy 200, you could buy 2,000, and you can make money off of it, right? Right. Is that an opportunity? Well, most salespeople would love that opportunity because they can make 100 cents on a dollar. Buy it for one, sell it for two, they make a buck. So they can go out and sell. Again, totally linear. How about this one instead? That's sales. Here's distribution for you. I'll sell you one vending machine for $1,000, and that will dispense the sodas. You can earn 10 cents each soda out of the machine because we'll sell the sodas for a dollar out of the machine. You can get 10 cents. I get the rest of the profit, but you'll make 10 cents. So now, what do you want? You don't have to manage the machines. I'll manage all the vending machines. I'll restock them. I'll do all the work. You just buy the machines, and I'll give you a commission on every sale that comes out of it. How many machines would you buy? Endless. Why? Because you're in the distribution business. Now it's the distribution business. It's not sales. You're not in sales. People buy from the vending machines, but you're making a commission check, and it has nothing to do with your time or energy. And that's what we want to focus on. Focus on others, building a distribution network, not talking about sales yourself. Your take on the soda machine is essentially free money because your involvement is totally limited. You're just the investor, and you create the cash flow. Beach money strategy number two, focus on passive nonlinear income versus active linear income. Again, focus on building people around you. You focus on passive income. At the beginning, you're going to put a lot of time and energy into it because you're looking at your 18 to 24-month period of investment of lots of time and energy to build what? The passive income stream. And that's what your strategy is. Focus on passive, nonlinear income. When you focus on yourself and how you're going to do it and you're going to do it and you're the most important, wrong. Again, you lose out. It's about focusing on what? The distribution, the passive income, not the sales, not your involvement. Number three, become the most well-connected person you know. Well, of course, that's important in our business because our business is a people business. You want to be well-connected, and a well-connected person is one that has great relationships with the people within their sphere of influence, their network. And successful people are well-connected, and they attract other successful people. So the best way to attract well-connected people is to be a well-connected person. So you want to get out there and get well-connected. Meet new people. Get out of the box. Do things that you wouldn't think of doing. Go to the meetings. Go to, you know, look in your newspaper every single day. You should be looking, what's going on in my community? How can I become more active in my community? What other things can I do? Go to your neighborhood, you know, 4th of July picnic. Be a part of that. When they want to talk about, you know, putting up a new fence in the neighborhood, go to the meetings. That's how you become well-connected. That's how you get to know people. It takes an hour of your time. Yes, it takes time, but that's what people are about. It takes time to get well-connected. That's your job. Number four, be sure your environment supports your cause. This is perfect. Comes right out of John Kalinch's How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. Remember? You can't fly like an eagle when you hang out with the turkeys. You've got to be what? Making sure you have an environment of support. So start surrounding yourself with other people, like-minded people, right away. Make friends that are entrepreneurs, not friends who are stuck in a job and all they want to do is complain about their job and talk about how you should go out and get a job and all the stuff that happens at their job. Those aren't the people you want to hang out with. Hang out with entrepreneurs. Join your B&I groups. Get into special contacts, networking groups, all those kind of things. Hang with people that are like-minded. They have the same belief you do. They get it. They get the B. They get the cash flow quadrant. That's what's going to support you. So make sure your environment supports you. He says that there are three phases of acceptance. When you first share your business idea, you're labeled as crazy. Once you have numbered, that's number one. Second phase, once you have some success, you're labeled as visionary. Three, when your business idea makes you wealthy, you're now labeled lucky. That's what people like to say. It wasn't lucky, people. Meant to be. You put all the pieces in place to make it happen. Beach money strategy number five, make friends without an agenda. This is huge for a lot of you. We like to go and we like to volcano over people and tell them why they have to be on glyconutrients or why they need to have this plan. It's wrong. I have tons of friends. Most of them probably are involved. A lot of them are involved in my business, but a lot of them are not. But if I had pursued their friendships in order to get them into my business, I would not have very many friends. So you invite people. You get to know them. You ask them questions. You play the Michael Oliver. You just talk about their lives, and you invite them. You know what? What I'm doing might be an answer to prayer for you, and if you're interested, I'd love to share it with you. Bingo, next. Invite them to take a look at your business if they want to. So get off your agenda. Beach money strategy number six, create memorable experiences for yourself and for others. Relationships are what the glue that holds a team together. So do things together as teams. We have so many great things that our team had done in the past. We went out to California together to do some self-development, like 18 of us, and we went and spent a day in the wine country. And you know what? Everybody still talks about that. We win all of these trips. Why do I want my team? Why do I want 50, 60 people in my downline in Costa Rica? Because they're events that are the glue that holds our relationship together. So you want to create fun and memorable times with your people. You want to take them all in a bus. I took a bus of people up to Chicago 10 years ago to be at a Chicago regional convention. We rented a bus. Talk about being in tight quarters together for a lot of hours. There's a plan. I'm sure that memorable doesn't always mean they're going to be the greatest of memories. Sometimes they're hardships, but they're all fun. We have fun. Number seven, invest in yourself and in others. Number seven, invest in yourself and in others. And this is one thing I totally believe in. As you well know, I talk about self-development all the time. I've budgeted, he wrote in his book, this is Jordan, that he budgets 5% of all of his income for personal development. He purchases books, CDs each month, and feeds his need for personal growth. I do the same thing. I don't have necessarily a budget on it. I just buy tons of books, CDs, everything. I read, just like reading this book this weekend. I read vociferously because I want to work on me. Every time I read, I learn something new. I can add something new. I can make a change in my life. If I don't read and I'm not aware of it, I'm not going to make a change. I have noticed, he said in his book, I've noticed that when I work on myself, I tend to attract others who are also working on themselves. And those are the kind of people you want to join you in your business. People who are willing to work on themselves to be better. That's great, because then you're green and growing, not ripe and rotting as a state of being. So you want to make sure you pour into other people, and that's why I continue to have Clemmer events. I'm hosting one this weekend. In fact, if you're in Dallas, come join us. We're doing a personal mastery here in Dallas, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait to do it, but that's my commitment. I do it all the time. I think it's my 28th personal mastery I've sponsored. So why? Because I believe in it. I see how it helps change people's lives. It helps people make better choices and directions in their lives. So invest in yourself and invest in others. Beach Money strategy, number eight is dream. Never quit dreaming. They have big dreams and talk about their dreams. We have big, you know, whenever you look around the successful people, they said there's three things about successful people. They have big dreams and talk about their dreams. Number two, they have magazines and photo albums on their coffee tables and desks that contain some of the things that they dream about. And number three, they read books and listen to CDs that help to expand their dreams. That's what he found true about all successful people. So all successful people dream, no question about it. Big dreams, not small dreams, big dreams. I got a big dream on my platter right now. Big, 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 big. Big, 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 about homeless kids. It's big. I don't know that I can do it. If I looked at it and I started worrying about whether I could do it, I probably would, you know, cave in. But you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. Beach Money number strategy number nine is act and adjust, don't analyze. Analyzing is a process of logic. Understand that your success will not be logical. As you grow, your journey takes you into uncharted territory. It's not all going to be logical. Going from working at a job to living the beach money life will be a brand new experience for you. There's probably no evidence in your life that this can even happen, but do you realize that nearly everyone who has created a financially free life did it with no evidence that it was possible for them either? Exactly. So quit getting in an analysis mode. Just act and adjust, act and take action. Notice what this says. Take action, adjust. Take action, adjust. Get out of your analysis paralysis. That's for you people that want to be perfectionists. That's really what number nine is really hammering on. Number 10, focus on your people skills more than your tech skills. In other words, leadership is the most valuable skill that you can have for creating beach money. So work on that. Go to seminars. Make an investment in self. I don't know anyone that's gotten the presidential level that didn't go to many different personal development seminars and classes, lots of training in the past. They get it. They get the differentiation. So continue to invest in yourself. Focus on your people skills. That's more important than whether you build a website or not. Outsource as much as possible. 11, that's about hiring a Lydia. Yay! Not all of you can do it. When I first hired her, she was making more money than I was making by the time I paid her. But you know what? I knew in order for me to grow and be where I needed to be, I needed to make an investment. So So I made an investment in somebody that I believe that could help me grow, and she has. So make an investment. Start pouring out other things. And you know what's so cute about this? I love this part, this chapter in here. This little, it was like 2 pages, not really a total chapter. But this whole idea about outsource as much as possible, because it really hit home for me. You know, like we don't like to do house cleaning. Well, then hire somebody to do it. Oh, I can't do it because I can't afford it. Well, then make a goal and commitment to yourself. I had somebody in my organization said, her husband said, if you get to executive director, you can have a house cleaning lady. And you know what she did? She got there because she wanted it so badly. So make it part of your priority. Make it part of what your game plan is. Make it that's going to be your reward when you achieve something. Very simply, you want to pay others to do what you don't want to do or that you're not very good at. Again, it's about emphasizing your strengths, not your weaknesses. And, you know, the most incredible thing, he said in here, he says, don't lie to yourself about what you like to do. And I think a lot of you do that. A lot of us lie about liking to clean the house or do the landscaping or mow the grass or all that kind of stuff. He says, don't do that because you're going down a pathway that's not supporting you to be the best you can be. And money strategy number 12 is keep your message simple and consistent. And that's a great one. He met a guy who taught me the value of simplicity. He built an entire organization of over 2 million distributors in a 10-year period. 2 million distributors. He would speak for an hour in each city. He traveled from city to 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 city all over the country. And you know what he did? In each city, he said exactly the same thing each time he spoke. He never changed his message. And he taught a basic 3-step plan. Are you guys ready? Here's his plan. 2 million distributors in 10 years. He built this plan, a 3-step plan. Number one, get a few distributors. Number two, get a few customers. Number three, help your distributors get started doing the same thing. Get a few distributors, get a few customers, help your distributors get started doing the same thing. When someone ever asked him a question about, some kind of complicated answer, he said, I'm not really sure, but if you'll go out and get a few distributors, teach them to get a few customers, and help your distributors get started doing the same thing, the company will send you some money. That's what he said. This is his whole gimmick. If you go out and get a few distributors and get a few customers and help your distributors do the same thing, the company will send you money. End of story. If you have a tough time explaining what you do, you know what? That's what's slowing down your growth. So keep it simple. Keep your message simple. Get rid of all the razzmatazz and blazzmatazz and get it simple. If you go out and get a few distributors and a few customers and you help a few of those distributors do the same thing, the company will send you money. I love that. It's a great statement. And you know what? It's Manatech. It's what we do. All right, people, that's it. Beach money for you. I just pray all of you earn that beach money. Hopefully you can take something from this book. I took a couple things from it. I thought it was insightful in a couple ways, but it just help you keep on track and maybe fine-tune some of the things you're already doing. But he just has a great story. My favorite part of the story probably is the fact that he spent 10 years with 11 companies, and you know what? He never, ever gave up. And remember what they say about networkers. Never, ever quit. But do you need to fine-tune what you're doing? Absolutely. Do you need to take a new approach at it? Absolutely. You need to tweak it? Right. But the most important person to tweak is you. Because if we don't change our attitudes and our direction and our commitment levels to things, then things around us aren't going to change. So work on you. What are you going to be doing differently? That's what I tell people. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to keep getting the same results. So big time for me, I told Lydia, I said, what I want to do this week or next is I want to take 5 hours off in a day and I want to go sit by that pond and I want to sit down and write out and journal because I got a lot of life left. I'm 54. I probably have 30 good, solid years of active, crazy lifestyle, hopefully 40 or 50 if these products keep hanging in there well as they do for me. So I've got a lot of work to do. And I want to start plotting out what that's going to be like versus just, you know, what's laid on my heart today. Maybe there's some bigger project. So I want to do that journaling exercise. I think that's huge. I think all of us should take the time to do it. I think that was probably the biggest thing out of the whole book that I took from it for me was that one chunk, getting back on track. Not that I need to get back on track with Manatech, but get back on track with where my life's going to be. Some of you need to get back on track with Manatech. Same thing. Take the time and energy to do that. Dedicate your time and energy to do that and watch how it serves you. Okay, everyone, that's it. Any comments, questions, any last-minute thing before we hang up for the day? All right, everybody, love you all. Let's get back to work. Let's get this thing moving. Let's put in place the actions we need to do. Get your little action tracker out. Make those presentations on a weekly basis and create greatness in your life. Beach money to all of you. All right, love you. Bye.
Thanks, Mary Jo.